Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Blow through us and among us. Breathe into the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, so that we might hear, so that we might be changed. Amen. Most days, I am pretty sure I have the best job in the world. This week, in one 24-hour stretch, I got to spend a grace-filled moment with someone who was within hours of her death, and to hold a baby who is just a month old. Every week, it is part of my work to sit with a text of ancient wisdom and to let it work on me until it seems like I have something to say to you that might make a difference in your life. How great is that? This week, it was this text from Ephesians, the verses that Tamba just read, that took up residence in my head. In a Bible that is filled with words and stories that sometimes are hard to decipher and that often sound more harsh than we think they should, this is a text that can warm your heart. It's Paul's prayer for the Christian community in Ephesus, and his heart is full of love. "This is my prayer for you," he says, "that you will know the unimaginable breadth and length and height and depth of God's love for you, and that you will let that love sink into you until you are rooted and grounded in it." "If you can do that," he wrote, "if you could find your home in this kind of love, it would change everything. It would fill you up with the very fullness of God." That's a huge thought, a really big, ambitious prayer. We try so hard and in so many ways to get what Paul promises, to be filled up with something that feels like God. Whether we use that language or not, filling up our empty spaces is what compels us. And so we work hard at being a good parent or spouse or worker or leader or helper. We self-improve, or at least we read books and magazines that tell us how to do that. But there's a better way, Paul is saying here, a surer way. What does it mean? What would it look like to be rooted and grounded in love, in God's love for you? In the country of Niger, in Africa, there is an old tree called the Tree of Tenere in the middle of the Sahara Desert. For years, many decades, people called it the most isolated tree on earth. There are no other trees, not even any plants, for miles in that dry, sandy desert where, to all appearances, there isn't enough water to keep anything alive. It was knocked down by a drunk driver a few years ago. But until then, that tree was a landmark. Caravan guides stopped next to it to pray before crossing the rest of the desert. People wondered, how did it stay alive out in the middle of this barren landscape? And then, in 1938, the French military dug a well next to the tree to find out, and they found a water table, 118 feet below the surface. That tree had survived because its roots had dug deeper than any other tree or plant had ever been able to do. In this place where a seed had once been planted, that tree hung on through dry seasons and windstorms until its roots stretched down 118 feet. That's the height of a 10-story building. That tree had dug deep roots, stubbornly persistent roots, to find the water that was hidden in the ground right underneath it. So let's anthropomorphize that tree a little bit. Imagine that tree's train of thought when the water got hard to find. Maybe a moment of panic. Should it spread its roots out laterally, search in other places for the water that would nourish its young branches? If the tree had done that, it would have fallen over years earlier, the first time it was buffeted by heavy winds. No, it's like that tree knew that this was its place, and that its only salvation, the key to its long and healthy life, was to go deep, to occupy fully this spot in the desert. And so through years when there was no rain, when no water came easily, it kept digging down, trusting that there underneath it somewhere was the water that would sustain it, give it what it needed for life. To be rooted and grounded is to have found a place that is home and to stay there until you can touch the goodness. Often, maybe most often, you find that home in a relationship. I see this in people who have loved each other for a long time. A couple that has stayed together through a lifetime of mixed up joy and hardship. A parent and child who rest quietly and confidently in their comfort with one another. Sometimes in friends who have learned that they can depend on each other to be there every time they call. This kind of love is hardly ever expressible in words. It is too profound. It does not grab or cling. It trusts that it will not be easily broken. To be rooted and grounded is to trust something even when it cannot be seen or spoken or grasped. That kind of love can do powerful things to us. It changes us. It reorients us. The movement toward another person, the urge to fuse with another, can be so strong that it almost literally sweeps you off your feet. You don't choose this kind of love, it chooses you. There is a reason we call it falling in love. It ushers you right in to voluntarily giving up your control over the parts of your life you thought were just yours. It takes you somewhere beyond rational thinking. It decenters you, puts someone other than yourself at the core of your thinking and your hopes and even your fears. It blurs the line between giving and receiving until they feel like the same thing. This is how God loves you, Paul says. God is madly, passionately, furiously in love with you. God is besotted with you, follows you around until you notice, offers to forgive every betrayal. God is willing to act like a fool for love of you. This is not often the storyline that we tell from the Bible, but it is there. The story about the God who came looking for Adam and Eve after they had disobeyed the one rule they had been given. When their sin was uncovered and they felt naked and exposed, God made clothes for them so they would not feel ashamed. Think about the story of the God who would not let go of the covenant he made with the Israelites, the lover who kept forgiving them no matter how many times those people complained and worshiped golden calves and whined that they wished they belonged to some other God. Remember the stories that Jesus told to give us a picture of who God is. the shepherd who will leave 99 obedient sheep behind to find the one nonconformist who wandered away. God is the parent who is so crazy in love that he sacrifices every shred of his own dignity to welcome home a child who only came back because he had run out of all the money. This is not a God who stands before you demanding obedience. This is not a God who conditions affection on your good behavior or your right beliefs. This is a God who yearns, who longs for friendship with you. No matter what you have done, no matter how messed up you feel, for a relationship that is mutual and authentic and free. No conditions, no ending date, no tests. How could your heart not lean toward a God who loves you like that? I think if we could really understand this, if we could really get it, that deep sense of how you are seen and known and loved unfailingly, unconditionally, if we could internalize that deeply until it carves out a place and lives inside of us, it would change everything. It would change the way you judge and demand accomplishment from yourself. It would keep you from being constantly disappointed in other people who can never see you quite clearly enough or love you as unselfishly as you want to be loved. It would help you look for less satisfaction from things, your possessions, which never quite fill up that empty space inside of you. It would make all those barriers you put up to keep yourself safe feel irrelevant and unnecessary. It can soften your heart. This is the kind of love that can root and ground you, where if you trust and stay in it, your best, most whole self will thrive and flourish. Look for that love, Paul is saying to this community to whom he is pastor. Whatever you're doing that stops you from seeing it, whether it's moving too fast or being so stuck that you can't see past your own skin, stop. Falling in love is what I want for you, he says. For you to fall over and over again in love with God. For you to live rooted and grounded in that love. If it hasn't happened to you yet, stay with it. It will come as it always has, from the very beginning, by your knowing and understanding the breadth and length and height and depth of God's never-ending, unconditional, passionate love for you. Amen.